Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlight, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Wisdom. And all you're getting, get wisdom. And we're going to get a little bit here from T.D. Jakes because he was just interviewed and he was able to share a little bit about his life. He's accomplished a couple of things.
Just
a couple of things. And he shares what he would have told a younger T.D. Jakes. What would he share with him? And I think that's so important because, you know, I often say you can borrow the experience or you can buy the experience.
Wisdom.
Yeah. Borrowing is so much cheaper. And when I'm sharing with others, I say, you know, there's some experiences you're just going to have to buy for yourself. You know, you can't be helped with that. However, there's some things that you can actually borrow and you can learn. And wisdom is a proper application of knowledge. We need wisdom in these days. So many people, Steve, are trying to get information. And it's not about information. Yeah. It's about revelation. You know, it's about walking in wisdom. It's about applying the things that we've learned and how to walk through life honoring God and glorifying Him. That's what life is all about. It's not about what we can do for ourselves, but how can I bring God glory? And we want to employ all the things that we've learned and all the things that others have learned so that we can make the most out of this thing called life. Because, you know, we're only going to pass through this earth just once. And so you want to do all that you can do and the time that you have to do it in a way that you can smile at the Lord, you know, you can say, and so that you can hear, you know, those wonderful words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." See, the first thing he talks about, he says, wow, finding purpose. What would he tell you? If he could rewind 33 years, he knows precisely what he would say to a younger T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes is a pastor of Potter's House Church in Dallas, Texas. He's authored I don't know how many books, and he's done so many conferences and just a really well-respected, you know, minister. And he's movie-produced television. He's just done a lot of things. And but one of the things he would look back and say is that he says, finding purpose, let your purpose guide you. And I think that's important.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you look at it, it's just like a lot of people have dedicated their entire lives to make an impact just by living in what is valuable in this life. But when you realize when you're talking about, I want to do something for God, when you begin to really seek after the heart of God and you're like, what can I do to impact the kingdom of God? When you understand you're getting that eternal focus, I want to live for eternity, then you realize the fact that this life is for the purpose of God. And that totally transforms everything that you do because it's no longer about yourself, but about God.
Right. And when you're finding out what your purpose is, because the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you breathe, the way you look, the way you act, all these intrinsic qualities, who your parents were, it's, you know, listen, God knew you before the foundations of the earth. You're not an accident. God has a purpose. He has an assignment for your life. I mean, Jeremiah 29:11, you know, for I know the plans God saying, I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans to not to harm you, but plans to give you hope and a future. And so God has this thing figured out, and you can save a bunch of energy, resources, and time, which is valuable. The older you get, the more valuable time becomes to you, but you can avoid all that by really seeking out the heart of God and saying, God, why am I here? What is my purpose? And one of the ways of discovering that, you'll start realizing there are certain things in your life that come very natural to you. You say they're very easy. They're not easy to others, but maybe you're naturally gifted in the arts. Maybe you're naturally gifted in technology. You're naturally gifted fixing things. Maybe you're naturally gifted in communication or in writing or in expression. And it's almost like second nature. But those are natural type gifts. And, and maybe you're supposed to fuel those things. I've met so many people, Steve, throughout life that they were steered one way because that's what people wanted them to do. but they had a natural talent, or they had an anointing to do something that was completely the opposite. And they were miserable. And I think that that's a really important thing. Find out what your purpose is. Mm-hmm. Well, there was a Rick Joyner who said that it was a huge majority of the church still doesn't know, when surveyed, what is their calling? Mm-hmm. What is their gifts? And you don't have forever to find out. This is something that should require prayer and seeking out. But that's talking about fulfillment. Fulfillment is when you know that you're in the zone, when you know like the sky's blue and you know the grass is green. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do. And I'm doing it the way he wants me to do it. Man, that's joy. That's fulfillment. That's purpose. And find it, because that's where you're going to be most fruitful. And that's probably where you're going to bring God the most glory.
Yeah. And I even think about it. It's just like there's to me, it's like that intrinsic value of knowing the fact that what you're doing has value. To know that you can look back at a season or a time or just whatever it is and know that it wasn't wasted. That which you do before the eyes of the Lord, it's just like, that's a treasure that brings joy to his heart. It's like there's nothing worse than looking back and being able to see, like, I regret that I made that choice. I regret that season of my life. And it's in those moments that it's just like, I can make better decisions today.
Yes.
With not having to have those regrets of what happened yesterday.
Yeah. The second thing he talks about is not letting others define you. Don't let others define you. And I think that happens a lot, because I think that people, you know, allow themselves to be put in a box. People begin to start speaking things over them, and they say, you're this, you're that, you're not that smart, mm-hmm. you're not that, you know, bright, you can't do that. And they start defining your future. And if you believe that, then you're going to be limited in life. You're going to be stuck because you've heard the words of somebody else who probably was no authority in your life, who's probably just speaking things out. Maybe they meant well, maybe they mm-hmm. didn't, but you believed what they said and it defined you. You allowed that barrier to be formed around you. Now you're inside of a box saying, yeah, this is who I am. And you really start thinking about it. Well, no, that's who they said I was. And I came into agreement with what they said, and you got to say, wait a minute, but what does God say?
Yeah.
And I think so many people don't know their identity in the Lord. It's so many times we define ourselves by our behavior, but not by our identity. You know, you're either a sinner saved by grace, and we say those things a lot, so we just keep on sinning, right? Or we say, I am a new creation in Christ. I am the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And it's about God's righteousness that I'm a partaker of his divine nature. You got to start, you know, saying about yourself the things that God says about you. I love what Bill Johnson says, Steve. He says, I refuse to have a thought about myself that God doesn't have about me. You got to start asking yourself, whose thoughts are you entertaining? We're talking about wisdom, yeah. Wisdom from T.D. Jakes about what you can do moving forward in your own life. And we're sharing some insights mm-hmm. ourselves, but it's important to look back so that you can begin to evaluate. And we talk about stopping and thinking, but I think we need to add a third one. Yes, you mm-hmm. need to stop and pause. You do need to think. But I think you also need to evaluate. And when you begin to start evaluating and judging your own life, you start to ask yourself this question, is the things I'm living for, are they worth Jesus dying for? Are the things I'm living for, when it's all said and done and it's all over, would I wish I would have done them differently? Would I wish I would have, you know, gave it my all? Do I wish, you know, did I leave anything on the field? And like you were saying before, Steve, we can avoid tomorrow's regrets today by stopping, thinking, and evaluating yeah. where we're at.
And even as you say that too, it's like, I think about, it's like, where does our self-worth come from? Where does that perspective come from? And if we're looking at it in someone else's, what they're saying about us, it's always going to be, you know, wishy-washy. But if we look at it from the eyes of the Lord, that's a totally different perspective. And I remember, you know, this specific wisdom that somebody spoke into my life, and I continue to remember that and even share that with others, is that everything that you do, do it for the eyes of one. Because so many are caught up in trying to do something for a crowd or a person or a relationship or, you know, their parents because they want that acceptance. It's like you've already been accepted by Jesus Christ. You've already been accepted by him, and he loves you, and the plans and thoughts that he has for you are endless. So everything that you do, no matter what it is, always do it for his eyes, regardless if you're alone, if you're in front of a crowd, or if you're in a boardroom, knowing that his eyes are on you, that's enough.
Yeah, totally. The third thing he says, that disappointment is inevitable, but a suave, I don't know what that is yet, a suave financial sense can ease the burden. But I want to talk about how disappointment is inevitable. I think sometimes we train people for success, but we don't train people for failure.
Yeah.
And the truth is that success is not as common as others would make you think that it is. We say, you got to be successful. You got to be successful. You have to learn. And we celebrate winning, winning, winning. And we celebrate success. But the truth is, you're going to have a whole lot more failures than successes. And instead of people training people to you know, maybe be successful, we need to help people to fail properly. And when you fail, you need to, you know, fall. You need to fall forward, not fall backwards. Every time you make a mistake, you need to learn from that mistake, right, and understand that, you know, a disappointment, a failure is not the end of life. It's not the end of you know, you forever. No, this was a bad moment. This was a bad decision. This was a choice, which I'm a big believer of the power of choice. You know, we live in a society today that everyone's blaming somebody for where they're at, and Like what Greg says, blame stands for, but look at my excuse. You know, at some point, you have to be responsible. We have to be responsible for the choices that we've made, the choices that we didn't make, you know, because an indecision is a choice, right? You know, I decided not to decide, you know, and choice is powerful. You are powerful. You can choose. And just because you made a choice that you ended up in a place that wasn't right, you can also make another choice to begin to move the trajectory of your life in a different direction and understand that, hey, you know, all failure is not final. It's not final. And if it involves sin, listen, you can repent. You can ask God to forgive you, and things can change. Things can get better. And listen, once God forgives you, it's good, you know. But then he also talks about how a financial sense can ease the burden. And there's a lot of things that we prepare young people for. He's talking to a younger self. I mean, he's in his late 50s, I believe, and he's talking to himself in his 20s. And we prepare our young people for a lot of things, but I don't know if we prepare our young people to have good economic sense. I don't think, you know, a lot of times people learn economy by trial and error, by getting into some debt, and they realize, well, that was a bad idea.
Yep.
You mean when they gave me that T-shirt for the credit card in college, 30%. What is that 30% interest? I had no idea.
That's right.
They gave me a T-shirt. You know, we don't teach people how to be, you know, economically sound. And so through trial and error and some pain, it's called wisdom, right? We learn to do things differently. But if we can begin to start teaching at a younger age our children and our young people economy, economics, and how money works and what we can do with it. And it's just a tool not to love it, because the Bible instructs us that it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. But that money is if it's used properly, can be used to bless, I mean, so many people and do so many things for the kingdom. I think about the Green family, owners of Hobby Lobby. Now, reports are that their Bible artifact collection is worth over $800 million, and their whole Bible museum they're putting together in Washington, D.C. costs $400 million. These are the things that you can do with money, with your business and other things, but it has to be learned. We're talking about wisdom that T.D. Jakes would share with a younger T.D. Jakes, some things he's learned. And the fourth one, Steve, is let go of some relationships. Now, this is pretty deep, right?
Yes.
Because he says there's people that you do lunch with, and then there's other people you do life with. And I think what he's trying to say is prioritize. This is a clue. You may not know this, but not everyone on your Facebook page is your friend, right? I mean,
what?
Yes, they're not all your friends.
Wow.
Yeah, you can check that out, man. But you do have some select friends, some people that you do life with, and that's so important. Because there's so many, you know, you have to start identifying that. When you're young, you think everyone is, you know, your friends, and you're like, yeah, I can hang out, I can do nothing. And, you know, a true friend is, I believe, one that's going to help you in achieving the things that you need to achieve towards the Lord, your growth in God, right? I mean,
Those that don't flatter you.
Yeah, if God is your number one priority in life, that's, you know, if he is, then a true friend to me is a friend that's going to help, you know, fan that flame and encourage you in the things of the Lord. It doesn't mean that we can't be friendly with other people. It means that we can't have friends that don't know God. You know, by all means, how are people going to know God? But it just means, how do you spend life? You know, do you spend life, or do you invest life? Do you spend time with people, or do you invest time with people? Big difference. Because every time that we invest in the life of somebody else, that means we are expecting a return on our investment. And it's not for us, but we're expecting a return in their life. We want to be able to sow something in their life that begins to grow and encourages them. So I think that's important. Some relationships, you just got to let go and say, you know what, this is toxic. This is not helping you. This is not really helping me. And you need to find those relationships that are going to help encourage you. The last thing he says is, let it all out in a laugh. And I think the point behind this is that life can be very serious. You know, there are a lot of things that go on in life, challenges, struggles, hardships. And sometimes you got to slow down. And like my dad used to tell me, you know, smell the roses, you know. And I think what he was trying to say is that, don't take everything so serious. Learn to laugh, learn to enjoy, learn to take in the moment, because, you know, life is about a bunch of these moments that pass. And before you know it, you're going to be, you know, getting older, and you're going to say, why didn't I stop? Or didn't I enjoy that season? And you can do that. You can absolutely do that.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Dative Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Dative Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.